What if I told you there was a way to solve your biggest practice challenges and connect with a thriving community all in one place? Well, the wait is over. The Best Practices Association app is here. Now available on the Apple Store and Google Play Store, this app is a way to get solutions in the palm of your hands. And the best part? It's 100% free to join. So don't wait. Download the Best Practices Association app now and start transforming the way you practice dentistry. Yo, yo, yo. Hey guys, welcome back to another awesome edition of the Best Practices Show podcast. A big topic in dentistry is burnout. Do you ever feel like you're just fried? Do you ever feel like we just keep doing the same things over and over and over again? Well, that starts to chip away at your confidence. Well, today we're going to change that. We did a presentation recently with Miranda Beeson that was called Beat Burnout with Better Systems. And it was so fun and so good, I thought we would share the audio version on the podcast. So here it is. Please listen up. Hope you guys enjoy this, and we'll see you soon. I heard there's a webinar today.
There's a webinar today. I'm glad you were able to join us.
No, I wouldn't miss it. I wouldn't miss it. You guys are in for a huge treat. I told Julie I've been doing push-ups all day. I'm ready for this.
Oh, my goodness. No. So your energy is up. I like it.
Yeah. We're serious like half the time, I think. And half the time we're just trying to make each other laugh here. So
yeah. You know, that's... We all take everything a little too seriously at times, don't we? It's good to just have some fun.
Yes. That's... You know, often it's fun for me to come to work because everything is so lighthearted. So that's kind of cool.
Because, you know, why not?
Why not? But cool. Thank you guys for jumping on. As always, as this community grows, we're excited that you guys are here. Keep showing up. And today's going to be a great one. Big topic in our community and the greater community of dentistry at large.
I love talking about systems. So... I'm an incredibly structured person, so anything that's rules or systems or boundaries, ooh, I love it. My son and one of his classmates just came home from school a little bit ago, and they were fussing about a system that their program is rolling out at the school, and... You know, I had to lean into a teachable moment, which teenagers love. It landed like a ton of bricks, but I feel good about it. I think, you know, a piece of it might have stuck, and somewhere in the future, they're going to remember that conversation that we just had, even though right now they didn't want to hear it.
Let's
hope. Good old 16-year-old boys.
Yeah. With all the great advice you give your kids, you just wonder if any of it's landing. And then once in a while, you're like, whoa, that's pretty cool. Where did you
hear
that?
Every now and then.
Yeah.
I was just talking to a friend's parent the other day, and Trent, my son, Trent, who's a junior in high school, was with them on a, they were headed somewhere and they stopped on a errand and they got kitty litter. And she said that he just went ahead and took it from her and carried it to the car without, you know, and I was like, oh. Okay.
What a good boy.
Okay. This is a good thing. Yeah. One of our core values in our house is be kind and helpful. And we have that conversation around the dinner table every day. What'd you do kind or helpful today? So it's good to know that out there in the world on his own, he fulfilled it. And that little nugget inside of me as a mom was like, oh, okay, good. Some of it's sticking.
He's a great kid. You're doing all right. And I can't wait until Bait Bros takes off. Miranda's son started the bait.
They didn't get funding and they were incredibly disappointed. So Bait Bros may be a thing of the past.
Hey, I think bait delivery is genius. It's a genius
idea.
It's
smart.
Especially in Wisconsin. So,
I mean, around here too, but you know, hey, they didn't get funded. So without getting funded, they're not going to probably put their own money behind it. Well, welcome everybody who doesn't know about Bait Bros. It was a good idea for a minute anyway.
For a minute anyway.
We're so excited to have everybody here. I see more and more people jumping in as we're getting started. Just a reminder that the chat is active. So if you do want to pop in there, say hello. You're welcome to. Would love to know if you're in our BPA or a coaching client, just a little bit of how you know about ACT and the BPA, or maybe you're from SmileSource because we're all one and the same these days. Throw it in the chat. And if you change that to little blue box to everyone, it'll go out to everyone. Otherwise, you're going to message Kirk and I, which is totally fine too. And you can use that chat box or the Q&A to ask some questions throughout the webinar. And we will definitely leave some time at the end to make sure that we answer your questions and have an opportunity to answer anything specific that you might have about this topic that we're going to cover today, which is preventing burnout through systems. So Kirk, you ready for us to jump in?
Let's do it.
All right. I love to honor people's time, and it's 2:02. So here we go. All right. Well, as I just mentioned, today we're going to be talking about beat burnout with better systems. Kirk is here with me today, so be ready to be entertained because he's already done his push-ups. He's pumped. He's ready to go. Before we jump into the content, we just want to share a couple of things with you. We just like to make sure everyone is aware of where you can get this information when it's all said and done, as well as hundreds of hours, actually, I think thousands of hours probably of CE that's available to you in our online community, the Best Practices Association. You can find the BPA on your desktop or the mobile app. There's a QR code here on your screen. You can also go to join.actdental.com if you haven't already and create an account. We have, as we just said, thousands of hours of video recordings. This webinar will live in the BPA when it's all said and done. So if any of you are wondering if this is being recorded, yes, absolutely. And we'll make sure it's right there for you in the BPA along with everything else we've recorded prior to today. And you can also see what's coming up. The other thing that we have within the BPA that you might be interested in is some tools and resources. We're going to be talking about a few of those things today. And so you can also find those as long as you're in our premium level. You can join in the BPA and see everything that we're talking about today. So scan that code or go to join.actdental.com and come hang out with us in the Best Practices Association. And we do have one more exciting thing to talk about. A lot of you have probably heard that SmileSource and ACT Dental, we are all one and the same now. We're all living harmoniously in the BPA. So Kirk, just share a little bit about why we're all together and what we're going to be doing to help private practice dentists and their teams going forward.
Yeah, so this has been a dream come true to put together two incredibly passionate communities. Now, I'm a little biased about this because there's a lot of false narratives going on in dentistry, like PPOs are taking over and blah, 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 and consolidation, all that. But what you're going to find is the independent dentists are doing remarkably well, like remarkably well. And we're a coaching company. Obviously, we work with practices that aren't necessarily broken. When we found SmileSource and put these two communities together, what you're going to see is an incredible group of people. Now the community is a very, very large community of people that are committed to one thing, just preserving their independence and freedom and practicing the way that they want to practice. And it's been quite fun. And as we add more resources and bring more special people in this community, you're going to see this is only going to grow. So if you're thinking about like, I don't know, this is really hard. Yes, it is hard. And that's where you're going to feel supported in the ultimate community when it comes to challenges that you have. And I couldn't be more excited about it. So we're going to continue to share the great news about where we're headed, some of the great value that we're adding here and in the new year. So stay tuned.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Well, let's jump on into the content today. So like we said, you and I both love a good system. So we're going to be talking today about beating burnout with better systems. And just like we always do, we like to start with why. Why is this important? And we know it's important because who is not familiar with the word burnout? If you go back probably 10 years ago, did we even talk about burnout? Was that a thing? I don't even know. But I'm telling you what, everybody's talking about burnout now because it's real. And I think that when we were able to slow down a little bit, step back from our work life and that hamster wheel that we all are on a regular basis back in 2020. We don't want to talk about why, but we all had that moment where we got to kind of step back a little bit, whether we wanted to or not. And when we came back to it, we really felt a little bit of the pressure, and that burnout started to sneak up for a lot of people. So burnout causes dentists and team members to lose the joy in their profession. We hear it as coaches quite often. The dentists in our community love being dentists. I'm a dental hygienist. I loved being a dental hygienist. But what would pull that joy from that profession for me, and what happens for a lot of the dentists in our community, is when we just feel like we're churning and burning, or we're just spinning in circles. We're talking about the same things over and over and not coming to any solution. Or we have team members who really just, we feel like they can't make decisions on their own. Or if you're a team member and you feel like you're not allowed to make a decision on your own, or you don't know what to do, it can come from every angle in the dental practice. And it's often the result of unclear systems, just repeated chaos and too much dependency on people in the practice and not enough dependency on written, aligned systems.
Yeah.
Go ahead,
so
Kirk.
I just want to add a couple of things. Like the big thing is the why behind this. And so I want you to think about this. Like the biggest problem in all of our lives, and I do mean everyone's lives, if we don't give the best energy the things that matter most of the time. Like if you're ever fatigued, you're wondering like, why am I doing this? Have you ever said to yourself like, why in the world am I even here? I shouldn't even be here, type of a thing. So your life gets better when you give the best energy to the things that matter most. And that's what systems allow. And I always say this, like, I think it's important in dentistry. There's no greater fatigue, none, than mental fatigue. You actually love a day when you work hard and it's productive and you're like, wow, that was a great day. But when you're experiencing mental fatigue, that's the worst fatigue ever. And a lot of it, I'll just speak for myself, is usually decision fatigue. It's like, why am I deciding? Didn't we just do this yesterday? And so it's the cognitive rigor you put through yourself in this process of dentistry. Now, dentistry, there's a lot of pieces to it. So the more you can systematize it, I'm not talking about creating robots, but talking about creating a structure in which you have high levels of predictability, because when you have more predictability, you're happier. When you have low predictability, you're miserable, and you can do that. So, I mean, let's step out of dentistry for a second. Like anything you systematize to reduce that cognitive rigor, you're happy. Like they make fun of me at the office because I wear the same thing all the time. I basically have 5 shirts and 3 pairs of pants. That's all I do. So I wear the same thing every day. But for me, it's easy. Pick it. You know, the food I eat, same thing. You know, just think about your days. And so what we're going to do is take that and apply it to the practice. The more you can do the same thing on a high level, and it allows for everybody else to get locked in on what has to happen. So we can't really put a finger on why burnout. I mean, we can hypothesize, but whenever you're feeling this, it's exactly what Miranda said. Like, there's a solution. There is. And we're going to help you with that today.
Well, Kirk, and you just made a really good point. So decision fatigue is real. So let's step back before even decision fatigue. When I was in private practice as a dental hygienist, I would come home so often and I'd just be like, I'm so tired. And my husband would kind of joke, because, you know, he's never worked in a dental office, and bless his heart, he'd say, all you do is like sit all day, right? Like you're in a chair majority of the time. And he wasn't trying to be nasty. He was genuinely trying to understand how I could be so tired that I could barely keep myself awake at the dinner table. But yet I sit in a chair or on a stool majority of the day. And it's that concept, like you said, the mental fatigue. So here's a big piece of it. In the dental world, in the dental practice, we are engaging with, as I say, hygienists, 8 to 9, 10 different personalities on the hour every hour. And we actually, most of us really love connecting with patients, interacting with patients. You're also connecting with and interacting with and giving mental energy to your teammates, your colleagues. That's all really enjoyable until you have the layer of decision fatigue on top of it, or the chaos or frustration of a schedule that doesn't run smoothly, or the backed up sterilization room, and these frustrations layer one on top of the other. And so now you don't even actually enjoy giving mental energy to your colleagues or your patients anymore. Because when it all adds up, it's just too much. And so what makes me really excited, and what you heard me say at the top, is I love systems. I know that sounds ridiculous to a lot of people. I love systems not because of the system. I don't love to sit down and write it. I love what it creates for the team. I love that it creates this freedom and mental clarity to really be able to engage with the patient sitting in my chair in the moment without having all of the rest of that stuff like running around in the back of my mind, because we don't have to worry about it because there's a system. It's repeatable and everyone knows and is aligned about how that's going to happen. So I know when I get up, when I finish with this patient and I take my tray to the sterilization room, I know what my job is and I know that everyone else is doing theirs and it's going to be fine. And so that's why I love systems. Not because systems themselves are so cool. It's what they create for us in freedom, freedom in our mental energy and our freedom to really be able to truly just be enjoying the things that we love most about being in the practice. So I'm curious if this sounds familiar to anyone listening or watching today. Who hasn't said or heard in the dental office, "I just feel like everything falls on me"?
Yeah.
Or, you know, "I'm constantly putting out fires when I should be focusing on my patients." When I'm talking with office managers, when I'm talking with dentists, and honestly, sometimes team members or team leads, we keep having the same problems over and over and over again. When we first start working with teams and we're doing team meetings, you can hear a little groan. I know those are the practices that have talked about the same things over and over and over in those team meetings without feeling like there's been any resolve. Or if you're a dentist listening and you think, "Man, I would love to take a vacation, but honestly, it's not even relaxing
right. Because
it's so hard for me to step away without everything falling apart." Or an office manager who wants to take a few days off, but you get texts all day, every day while you're gone, because you're the one who holds all this information in your brain and it's not documented or systemized in the practice. And so this is very normal thoughts and feelings that anyone who's ever worked in a dental practice has probably experienced from time to time.
Yeah, and what it does ultimately, it starts to chisel away at your confidence. And you can't be happy in an environment where you're like, "I got to do this again and again." And if you're a team member, you know, as a dentist, it's really easy to say, "Well, nobody gets this. Like, I don't have team members that get," you know, if I'm a team member watching us have the same conversation over and over and again, I'm just like, "Oh, here we go again. It's the same old stuff." So you don't have to fix it all right away. You don't have to make it perfect, but you put one system in place, like just one, you save thousands of hours in the future. And team members actually go, "Wow, that actually worked." I think one of my favorite transformations is always the schedule. So we have a lot of people that come in and they're like, "Well, we work evenings and, you know, crazy hours." I'm like, "Stop doing that." And they're like, "Why?" I go, "Because you don't need to do that." And then they change their hours, which is a system. And they go to 7 to 3 without a lunch. And they go, "That is crazy. Like, people are coming in the hours." I'm like, "We're just getting started." And they're like, "Wow." So it's like one little success leads to the next. And now you can lean into the power systems.
No, I love that. And you're exactly right. It's the layering effect. And it's like, well, you can't do everything all at one time. So just take away from this right off the jump. Like, when we're going to talk about systems and you're going to think about all of the things, like I look at this picture and like you, this person walking in behind the doctor could be saying one of probably hundreds of things in the practice that really need to be systemized. When we work with coaching clients, sometimes we're together for 5 years and they're going, "I can't believe there's still new systems that we're writing and developing." But there's so many things within the practice that we really could systemize and create these long-term evergreen assets for. And so when we're looking at this today, just think at the end of all of this, just pick one thing, right? Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about some takeaways, but what's that one thing that leaves you feeling like this, that just you're grabbing, you're pulling your hair out at the end of the day? Like, if I have to answer that question one more time, like, I'm going to be bald because I will have pulled out all of my hair. Kirk, is that what happened?
And when you have no hair to pull out, you start pulling on your ears, your nose. It just gets weird after a while. So, or you start mumbling to yourself. People are like, "What's wrong?" You go, "Nothing. Nothing is wrong. I just got to get out of here." And I'll just add one more thing. Like, I've been there. Like, when you're burned out, you make bad decisions. You just do. You're quick when your family says, "Dad, dad," you go, "What?" And you're like, and they're like, what's wrong with you? And you, or, you know, a glass of wine sounds amazing on a Monday night. Or a second glass of wine sounds even more amazing if it's been a terrible Monday. So, you know, it's good to diagnose, like, where is this all coming from? And again, we don't have to fix it overnight, but just little by little, if you can chisel away at it and create more predictability, I promise you, your life gets better, your energy gets better. So,
yeah, because chaos that we're experiencing when we feel that way that leads to that level of irritability is the symptom.
Right.
The systems are what really get to the root of it all and create a cure for that chaos and for that burnout. And so if we can be really consistent with creating systems, the systems become what run the business and our people are what run the systems. And if you've heard me talk before, you've heard me say it before, human resources, everyone on your team is a human resource and they're humans before they're a resource. And when you have systems that run the business and people that run the systems, it really allows for you to lean into that human aspect of who each person on your team is. And it allows them the freedom to kind of open up and really bring their best selves to that system and to your practice and ultimately to your patients.
Yeah. So, and think about this, you know, the best dental, one of the constant narratives in dentistry, and we're not going to go down this rabbit hole today, is like, how do I pay people well? And how do I do this? And if your team compensation is above 30%, I can already tell you what's going on in your practice. I don't even need to know who you are. I can tell you that you have a very people-dependent business. You have problems everywhere and you throw people at them. Whenever you feel overwhelmed, you throw a person at it. You just keep throwing people at something. And our best practices that we coach that pay team members really well, their team compensations are below 30%, meaning they have fewer people. They're able to do a higher output. Now, it's not about like how much can we do. It's just they're more efficient with how they don't touch things seven times. They touch them once or twice, and they do everything up front. So when you put systems in place, you can breathe a little bit better. So we have Julie on. Julie's actually, I didn't steal her, but like she came from Starbucks and it was fun to watch like how they did things. I got to see a little bit of like how they run systems. And that's one of the highest revenue producing organizations in the United States per square foot. When you look at the volume that they do and the complicated processes, they could never survive without predictable systems. And there's no expertise out there. When you put an ad out for barista, we are looking for talented baristas. There aren't 30 applicants going, I'm one of the best. No one even knows what that means. Like when you come in, you learn to do a barista from scratch, you know? So it's possible to create a systems dependent practice. One more thing I'll just add. If you have a talented person like Miranda or anybody, they don't have this thought of, let me come into your office and let me clean all this up for you. Their only thought is like, I want to come to work in a predictable environment and I want to be who I want to be and I want to use my skills at the highest level, right?
Oh, absolutely. And those are also the people who are probably going to really be able to help you start making amazing systems in your right. practice. When you get those really high level thinkers in your practice who want to be able to feel that way, they crave the structure and the systems. And it's actually a perfect segue into this next slide, which is all about expectations, because in the end, that's what systems are really doing for your practice, is they're creating the expectations. Well, core values are creating the, we talk about that all the time, they're creating the expectations for how we behave here. You know, what character are we looking for? What type of behaviors are we looking for? The systems are what really tell us about the expectations of what we do. So it's really hard to hold anyone on our team accountable to a procedure or a process in our practice if it hasn't been documented and we haven't been able to clearly express what are the expectations. I always bring up sterilization because there's hardly an office I walk in or have joined as a coach that doesn't have some type of turmoil around the sterilization epicenter of the practice. And a lot of times it's just that there's not documented expectations for who does what, when, where, how. When we have systems documented, it is very, very clear what the expectation is for the how. And now we have something that we can refer to when we're talking to our team about performance, underperformance, overperformance, whatever it may be, because we have documented and all aligned and agreed on what is the expectation of how we manage our sterilization center. What is the expectation for how we treatment plan periodontal disease? What is the expectation for how we process appeals to our insurance claims? Every little thing, I joke with teams, like all the way down to who replaces the toilet paper, how often and when and where do we order it from? And you laugh at me, but it has actually been on a team's issue list before. Yeah. Like we keep running out of toilet paper, all the way down to who, you know, replacing the paper in the printer. Like it's crazy over time. Once a practice becomes systematic, you crave those systems for everything.
Yeah, it's funny you bring up the toilet paper dental office because I've been doing this a long time. I also want to know, does it go over or under? Like specific is terrific. Like just don't put it on there. There, people that care about the details, they care if it goes over. And if it isn't written down, then it doesn't exist. And everyone says, well, that's not my job. You know, so.
It's so true. Maybe I need that, a process for that in my house too. I don't know. Yeah.
And I'm of the opinion it's got to go over. It doesn't go under. It goes over.
I grew up in an under house, but I have been converted.
Okay.
Well, we have an equation with ACT called E minus R equals C. And this means expectations minus reality equal conflict. So in every dental practice and really in every family and every business anywhere, if there's not really clear expectations, then it's hard for the reality to meet those unspoken or unclear or undocumented expectations. And so we're going to have conflict. Now, you might also have conflict. There's really clear expectations. We've got this system documented. We are very clear on what's expected of this. And the reality still might not meet that expectation and we have conflict, but at least we have the expectation documented somewhere to reference. Yeah. And so Kirk, you often share the example with this equation of, you know, if I tell my wife I'm going to be home by 5 o'clock, cause we have somewhere to be at 5:30, but I don't roll in until 5:30 and we're supposed to be leaving at 5:30. Like there's going to be some conflict because the expectation was very clear that morning before I left to be home by five. And then the reality didn't match that. So there could be an E minus R moment just about anywhere in life. And then you also often say that unresolved conflict always leads to crisis. And so when we get to that crisis point with our team members or with things that are happening in the practice, we can usually trace it back to this equation of E minus R. And so when I'm working with clients, that's a lot of times, if there's a frustration that's coming up over and over, we stop and we say, is that expectation for your team clear? Yeah. Like, is it written down? Like you could pull it up right now and show me that that's documented somewhere and everyone on your team knows that's the expectation for that particular system or process.
Yeah, and I love this formula. You can apply this formula to every piece of your life. Anytime you experience conflict, go back to expectations and reality. And if you fall on the wuss side of things, like I'm a wuss, I started, even in my marriage, when I married Sarah 26 years ago, I was like, okay, I never want to let her down. I say yes to everything. Well, that... when you can't deliver on those promises, it causes challenges. So you got to be careful about how you do that. The other thing I just want to say about this formula, like, you know what's lacking from this world in business? People that make promises and keep them. Think about this. You could crush it as a dental practice. If you made a promise, you said, this is how this procedure is going to go today. We're going to call you tomorrow. This is exactly blah, 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 blah. You would go, wow, this is amazing. I had my basement flooded recently, and up here in Wisconsin, we had all these floods. So I had a bunch of people trying to help me. And one guy's like, well, I'll be here on Friday. Didn't show up. I'm like, were you just saying this Friday or any Friday? Like, I'm curious what Friday you were talking about. And now I have a new company. It's like, it's so good. They're exactly clear. We will be here tomorrow at 7 a.m. The kid is in my house at 7 a.m. He's like 7 o'clock. I'm like, these are my people. You know what I mean? It is so powerful when somebody makes a promise and keep that. So it's important. And the only thing that allows you to be able to keep those promises are systems. So we'll talk more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to dig into that right now. So we have a resource that we work with teams, and it's all around creating new agreements, policies, and systems. And what are the key components that should be a part of every system that you document and create in your practice? Now, as coaches, it's a little different than consulting. I always share every practice I've ever worked in. There's a handful of practices that I've been in as a dental hygienist, and we've had a consultant with every practice I've ever worked in. So this world is very familiar to me. And it's been awesome. I have gained gems from every company we've ever worked with. What I love about being a coach and a coach with ACT Dental is that we don't just have systems that we give you to employ in your practice. We work with you to design frameworks and systems that fit your practice. So there's no square peg, round hole. It's let's talk about you and your team thinking about your particular practice and how we can write and develop a system that fits for your culture, for your patient base, for your volume. And so this is what we work with clients on a regular basis, is creating new agreements, policies, and systems. And the first step of every system is to just get really clear and align as a team on what is this system that we're creating. So the what. We want to align as a team on exactly what it is that we're doing. Is it a protocol? Is it a daily checklist? Is it a follow-up process? Is it a new communication flow? And we really want to create a label for this system that says what this is very, very clearly. You'll hear us mention, I'm sure in this webinar a few times, the idea of specific is terrific, vague is the plague. The more specific you can be around each of these steps, starting with the what, the clearer it's going to be for your existing team members to replicate this over time and for you to be able to introduce this to new team members as they come on board. You really want to begin every system conversation by clarifying the what. What is the scope and the goal of what this is that we're creating together, and get aligned on that before you even move on to whatever that next step is going to be for you. We also love and often talk about, just like we did at the top of this webinar, leading in with the why. So once we know what we're creating, it's really important to align as a team on why. Why are we even taking time in this team meeting to work on this system together? So people committing to what they understand, they're going to, without weigh-in, there's no buy-in. So when people understand why we're doing this, it's going to be so much easier for your team to step in, commit to something they believe in and understand. We talk a lot about DISC and the different communication styles, and a lot of our team members fall into this S or steady or C, conscientious style of communication, both of which are a bit averse to change. However, they will open themselves up to change a lot more if we can provide a really strong why. So they'll at least be open to exploring and discussing doing something different than the way we've always done it if they truly understand why. So connecting every system to a greater purpose. Sometimes it needs to be related to patient experience. Sometimes it might need to be related to your team and being able to reduce their stress level or have better outcomes. So, for example, if we're talking about developing a periodontal protocol, that's a big system to generate in the practice. It usually takes more than one team meeting, just so you know. But when we're doing that, we're going to have perhaps four hygienists on our team, all of which graduated at various years over the last decade or so, or maybe the last couple of decades, who all have their own perception or subjectivity to exactly how and when we treatment plan periodontal disease therapies. And so when we're asking them to generate a system, this is going to be new. We're going to say, we want you to change perhaps what you've been doing for the last 20 years to a degree. We want you to think about it. We want you to write it down. We want you to actually challenge yourself and say, is there something I could or should be doing more or less of? And that's sometimes hard for people. And so if we can take that particular system and correlate it to the why of the patient experience and really help have the hygiene team generate aspects of the why. Why would doing this benefit our patients? Because that's what we're here for. We're here to take the best care of patients that we possibly can, to prevent disease, to treat disease, to help them be healthy, keep their teeth forever. Everyone's got these internal drives for that patient experience and patient care. And that why can be enough to go back to over and over throughout the challenges of writing a complex system like this, or changing the way someone has always done something, to keep that why at the center. Just like with better outcomes, perhaps you're in a practice where temporary crowns are coming off quite often. This is something we hear. It's something I've experienced in a private practice before. And if we just keep doing exactly what we're doing and not stop and look at, should we stop or start something differently than what's happening now? We probably aren't going to fix that issue. We're going to just keep talking meeting over meeting about the temporary crowns coming off. But instead, we could say, hey, here's what we want to do. We want to document the workflow for our crown prep procedures. Here's why we want to do it. We want better outcomes. I know you guys are stressed out because it's stressful for the admin team when people are calling with a crown off. I know it's stressful for the assistants because we're having to squeeze those people in to put it back on. Maybe we had to remake it because it actually broke when it came off. That's stressful. And guess what? We want a better outcome for our patients. So we're going to stop and we're going to write down our workflow step by step by step by step for crown preps. And we're going to look at what works, what doesn't work. Do we need to do something differently? And we're going to document it so that we can repeat this new process over and over and over until we've solved those problems here in the practice.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that's so important what you just said, Miranda. And we say all the time here to our clients internally, misalignment. Think about this. It's the root of all evil. Whether it be misaligned with core values, misaligned with what we're trying to do with the practice, or misaligned on procedures, this is where it starts to go bad. I shared this with our leadership team on Monday. I think the worst thing that could ever happen to us would be misalignment. You know, just like, I'm going to fight to keep us aligned, like on what we're thinking, how we're behaving, how we're operating. And the misalignment happens when you don't take the time to get aligned. And you think about it in your family or work. So the system allows you, because it's written, you've gone through it, to get aligned on the why. So this is a big why for you as a dentist. It's like, I want to stay super aligned.
Yeah, because we want to make sure that what we're doing is, it matters to us, it matters to our patients, and that everyone on the team is on board.
Right.
The next step in a system is where. And this one is important, although it seems to some people like, I mean, in the dental office. Well, yes, and. So the where is really identifying where this system applies. It might be in a specific operatory. It might be in a designated physical place or software. It might be on a specific type of patient or service. So sometimes, yes, it might just be like in our dental practice, but occasionally it might be in our sterilization room or in the lab or in the doctor operatories or in our break room or in Open Dental or in EagleSoft or wherever you're working in your practice management software. It's just really important to make sure we're specific about where this system is going to be taking place. So again, specific is terrific. If it's not clear where it happens, it may not happen anywhere. Maybe we're talking about case presentations. And if I don't know, we do them in the consult room because I'm brand new here. I'm just going to start pulling it up in the operatory. I know it probably wouldn't happen because hopefully you've shown me that we have a consult room. But again, we have to read back these systems. And we'll talk a little bit about that later, of going back and looking at them from an outside perspective, or maybe sharing what we're creating with a different department in the practice. Thinking about it through the lens of someone brand new is walking through the door to come work here, and they're going to follow this system to do this thing. Does it make very specific sense? The next piece is the when. So when should this system be activated or followed? Defining the timing and the triggers. It could be as simple as daily or per patient. It could be after treatment is presented. Maybe that's the trigger. Maybe we're writing a system for an insurance appeal. And so the when is when a claim comes through as denied. So we want to indicate very specifically, when is this happening? I think about hygiene recare follow-up systems. And a lot of people will have a documented or at least a loosely documented hygiene recare follow-up system. So a system that their admin team and a lot of times the hygiene team supports as well, calling on patients who are overdue, as we might say. You know, they don't have an appointment scheduled and they haven't been in the last 6 months, 9 months, 12 months, whatever that might be. There's a lot of practices who use hygiene recare or unscheduled hygiene lists purely to fill short notice cancellations. There's no documented rhythm for when or how they're using it. Now, there's others who do have a documented system. We pull this list from here. We make sure we select these dates, da 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 da. We put our notes here after we make the calls. But if it doesn't tell us when, if I get hired as a patient care coordinator, I can just choose, I guess, when I do that. And you know what? I do it in my free time and I don't really have any free time, so I never do it. But if it says that I do it every day or once a week, or maybe I do it daily from, 8 to 10 a.m. because that's when the doctor's in a big treatment and our hygienist is in SRP and I'm not going to be checking in and out patients, then that's really helpful for me to be able to meet the expectation of the practice on when to make sure I'm consistently implementing the system. You want to use time-based and event-based cues for the when to ensure that that consistency is happening. The next piece is who. Every system needs ownership. Assigning roles clearly. Who is responsible for this? Who is supporting this? It's not necessarily that this is the only, it might say the administrative team, because perhaps there's a system that truly is, or it's your periodontal protocol system, and it's the who is the hygiene department, or the who might be the doctors and the hygienists diagnosing periodontal disease. But when everyone owns it, nobody owns it. So there does need to be clarity to who is responsible. You might have a system that indicates someone specifically is responsible, but we also are then, so let's go back to hygiene recare right off the top of my head, in case you couldn't tell, that just came to me. It might be that the who is our patient care coordinator, right? Our patient care coordinator is the who that's responsible for that hygiene recare follow-up system. And I would probably, if it was my practice, another component of who would be the other administrative team members offering secondary support, hygiene team members offering secondary support. And maybe you even have an asterisk if you want to get super specific that says when they have a cancellation in their schedule, right? So that it's clear, you can't say the hygienists never help calling recare and they're supposed to. If it's documented as an expectation on your system, it's really easy to say, hey, hygiene team, we all aligned on this system. We've all signed the bottom of it. And you are supposed to be helping with that hygiene recare system when you have those breaks in your schedule. Let's make sure we're honoring that system, okay? And now the expectations are reviewed. It's right there on a piece of paper. If it's not there, it's really hard to hold those people accountable, and we need to realign and rediscuss that system and then update and revise it if that's something that's important to us.
Yeah, that's you can't say enough. Miranda, you're so brilliant. Now, remember, here's an added benefit. This framework is brilliant. What, why, where, when, who, how, I mean, all that. So, but when you have it documented, it becomes something that you can reference with a team member. So I just want to make sure you guys heard what Marina said, because if you don't, then it becomes very like attacking. It's you don't do
pointing
this.
fingers.
Yeah, you're basically walking into an app and just pointing a finger. And don't point the finger at the person. Point it at the system. Go, hey, listen, and just have I'm curious about a couple things. You know, we've discussed this. It's written. I'm noticing that we're not doing it the way we wrote it. Can you tell me a little bit about that? You're going to find, here's one response. I didn't know we did it that way. Number two, I don't know how to do it that way. Those are good responses, as opposed to, I don't want to do it that way. Like, I'll take anyone who's like, I didn't know about it, and it's hard for me to do that. Now you're giving the option for the team member to succeed. You know, I mean, all the way around. So it's
You
great.
made a you make a really good point. You actually just had a really great podcast that I just listened to with Alan Twigg about having difficult conversations. So when you just said that, he laid out a framework pretty similar to that. And within that, being able to pull a system, and I like to say, figuratively, you don't want to be sitting across the table from your team member with a problem in between the two of you, or this like this conflict that E minus R is sitting right in the middle of the table. You want to be sitting next to that person, looking at that problem together and trying to find a solution. Figuratively or literally, sometimes you're actually literally sitting together and the system's printed and it's sitting on the right table in front of you. But when you're sitting side by side and you can point your finger at that system, it's very, very rarely a people problem. It can be, but if they're a right person, they fit your core values and they are really supposed to be on your team because they are the right person for what we're trying to do here. Majority of the time, they want to be meeting your expectations. Yep. It's just a matter of, are those expectations clear? And being able to point at that piece of paper on a table sitting next to your team member collaborating is a lot easier, and it's going to be a way more productive conversation than sitting there in their operatory pointing at them saying, you're not doing what I need you to do. But like you said, on the backside of it, maybe they didn't even know.
Right.
Now, they might say they didn't know, and you're like, but I have said this 7,000 times. It doesn't matter if it's not written down.
Right.
Like whether you like to hear that or not, you can say it 700,000 times, but if you don't have that signed piece of paper that's, and I say piece of paper, it could be digital, that says, yeah, we did talk about exactly this, and you're able to point to that system, it makes the clarity so much stronger. It's not about the people. It's usually a broken system or a system that just isn't specific enough. And so in that situation that you just brought up, the easy thing to do is say, you know what? I think that our system must have some gaps, because what I noticed is this, that, or the other. I want to bring that system. Can we put that on the issues list? I want to make sure that at our next team meeting, we review that hygiene recare system as a team and that we're all aligned on what's working and what's not working. And maybe we need to tweak it a little bit. And now we're all working and collaborating around a system, and we're not pointing fingers at someone who may or may not have been clear about what the expectations was even supposed to be.
Yeah. W. Edwards Deming, who was kind of the process engineer of the United States and actually worked for Japan for a while, he was an expert at creating systems. And one of his favorite quotes is if you show me an employee who can't do the job correctly, I'll show you a process that's not clearly defined. Mm-hmm. And what you can do by doing this is when you do the process, you do this the right way, and the employee still can't follow the system, now you have an even clearer conversation about right person, right seat. And so I think what you said was so good, Marina. Like, don't blame a person, blame a system.
Yeah, start there every single time. You might get down the line to the person, but we're going to start with the system every single time. The last piece around this creating a system is the how. So we're getting through the what is it, the why are we doing it, where do we do it, when do we do it, who does it. Now we're going to get into the meat of how. And so this is when we're going to break the system into clear, specific, and measurable steps. We want to be clear about what happens first, next, and last, what tools and templates are involved. Think about the system as if somebody brand new. I tell my coaching clients, pretend I'm showing up to fill in for one of your team members today. Could I grab that system and know exactly how to do it with the expectations of what you want it to be? So this is why I think it's great to have, say, like your admin team write up a system and then share it with the hygiene team. They don't do those functions on a regular basis. And so they'll be able to say like, oh, wait, I think there might be a gap here because you said to do this, but like, where do I do that at, like in the software? And the more repeatable and teachable the system is, the more freedom it's going to create in everyday life for everyone. And you can do things like using a video recorder, like a Loom video or a Screencastify video. Say you want to show someone how to put a new patient into Open Dental. You can just record your screen really easily with free extensions on like Google Chrome and things like that, where you're able to actually then take that link and plug it in and say, hey, you need to know how to schedule a new patient because you're brand new here. Here's the video that shows you exactly how to do it. You can make it as simple as possible. The most important part is the specificity of it. And what hangs most people up on getting these done is the need for perfection, trying to get all the way to the end from the very beginning. And we like to talk to our teams about the 80% approach. The first time you're taking an attempt at, oh, I think I just lost my presentation. The first time you're taking an attempt at the system, you want it to be an 80% approach. Start with just the first 80% and see what you can do from there. Then maybe hand it off to someone else or come back later and do another round, another 80%, and then another 80%. Little by little by little by little, you will get to that 100% mark, or at least 99.8, because we're always working on these, right? They're never actually done. But if we say, oh my gosh, that's going to take me 3 hours to write that system. I don't know when the next time I'm going to have 3 hours is. You're never going to write the system. But if you have 30 minutes and you can just draft out and just kind of throw your first 80% like big picture framework out on it, great. The next time you have 30 minutes, you can layer in. The next time you can layer in. Or a lot of our teams will work on these during their team meetings. Kirk, I saw you had your hand up.
Well, this is one of my favorite things, so it's hard for me to be quiet during the 80%. This is actually engineered by Dan Sullivan, who teaches entrepreneurs all over the world. This is life-changing. This has changed our lives and a lot of clients' lives. And Miranda said it really well. Your two enemies are perfection and procrastination. You're like, I'll just do that tomorrow night. And I'll sit down and hammer. No, just get it to 80%. And I'm not, I want to make sure you guys hear the, like, it's not about being an 80%er, but take everything you do and improve it by 80% mm-hmm. every time you touch it. So the first time you're at 80%, the second time, if you take that and you improve it again, you're at 96%. Then you improve it by another 80%, you're at 99.2%. And just like Miranda said, you'll get to 100%. My favorite example, I'm actually doing this right now with spring break for next year. It's like Monday through Friday, it's like Monday, get the VRBO. Tuesday, work on flights. Wednesday, working on the golf cart and all that and the meals type of a thing. And, Thursday, transportation back and forth. Instead of just sitting down trying to hammer it all out, you're just improving it a little bit each time. You're going to be amazed by how much better your processes are. So I can't applaud you enough for Miranda's like saying this. This is such an important piece of it.
Yeah. And what we use during that 80% is like throw a brainstorm out on a piece of paper, whatever you want to do for the first go at it. Just jot down everything that you can think of around, if I were to just real quick tell someone how to do this particular thing, like, let me just write out those steps. And then that next 80%, we encourage teams to layer into a structured template. This is a version that I have up on the screen of a structured template where you're documenting the what and the why, the who, the where. It's reminding you, wait, don't just jump into how does this thing happen. We do need to fill in these key elements before we get into how this system works. And then we're layering out step by step by step exactly how. The other thing that I really love about the templates that we work with when teams are creating these new systems is at the very bottom, we challenge you to think about what would be the best result that could come from this system. And then also, what are some possible challenges we might encounter when we start implementing this system? Because as we develop systems, we do want to always go back and revise those systems, which we'll talk about in just a minute. It's really important to make sure that these processes are done together as a team. Implementing them is not going to be as successful if everyone is not engaged. Like I mentioned earlier, when there's no weigh-in from your team, there is not going to be buy-in. So, for example, dentist owner, if you're like, I know exactly how I want everything to be done in this practice, and you go write this amazing, beautiful manual of every system. I mean, I don't know how you had time to do it, but say you did. And then you deliver it to your team, you are not going to have the same level of success of people honoring those systems as you would if you worked together to develop them. Because when the process is done together, your team has weigh-in, there's going to be so much more buy-in on their part to honor those systems. You want to brainstorm when you're developing these systems around what you're currently doing to support this objective, and what practices do you want to keep and what do you need to change? This one is important to think through because a lot of the times in working with dental practices, we might ask a question like, do you guys have a system for checking in patients. I'm just going to throw an idea out there. Oh yeah, absolutely. Okay, can I see it? Oh, we don't have it written down. So we want to make sure that everyone is aligned around that. And the best way to do it is to say, let's figure out what you're doing right now. You can brainstorm that out. Okay, of that, what works, what doesn't work? Well, we want to keep sending electronic forms because that is very efficient and people respond to that really well. Maybe when you're talking about that, you realize, wait, there's actually a challenge there. Nobody can ever figure out how to get to the link, blah, 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 blah. And you realize, like, oh, maybe part of this system is we need to rethink these electronic forms that we have. When you and your team, because if you're the dentist and you're not sending people forms and you're not getting the emails and the phone calls from people saying they don't know how to do it, you may not realize that this is something that needs to be reconsidered in that system. So, what do we need to keep? What do we potentially need to change? What could be better? It's kind of like a start, stop, continue process where you work through what you're currently doing. And as you actually document it, you can leave in the things that are important that we want to leave in, and we can add or take away the things that we do or don't. And it's really important to be curious when you're doing this and ask good questions and then ask even more questions and be really engaged. You, as the dentist, as well as your team, you want to encourage your team to ask questions. You know, have you, well, and I don't know the whole folklore, but Kirk, I don't know if you've ever heard this story. And it's like something about the size of the like bread loaf or whatever that this family makes. And it's like, well, why is it that size? And it's like, I don't know. That's just how my mom did it. I don't know. That's just how my mom did it. And you come to find out later that it's because the great, great, great grandmother had a tiny little oven in a tiny little pan, and that's as big as they could ever make it. And so all these years, every generation has just done it the way that it's always been done with no real understanding. And no one ever stopped to ask, like, well, why is it only 4 inches long? I could make a 12-inch bread loaf and feed more
Right.
people. But if you don't stop and get curious and allow your team to be curious and be engaged, then you're not going to have that critical thinking element that really allows you to think bigger and make those crucial moves that help the whole team move together towards success. And lastly, old habits are really hard to break. They just are. And so when you create a new system, it's going to be really important to not just set it and forget it, but to make sure that maybe that new system is posted somewhere that's in a, or maybe a few places. Maybe you have a cheat sheet in every app for a little while until it becomes a regular rhythm and habit in your practice. We have new systems that we develop on a regular basis at ACT. And we have one that we just developed not too long ago. And I sent out an email just this last week saying, hey, everybody, I know there was this new system that we created. Just want to remind everyone, and maybe you are, maybe you aren't, because we work remotely. So I don't see what everybody's doing all the time. But like, don't forget, this is where we put such and such when we need to do it. And so having that reminder, maybe it's every week at your weekly team meeting for 4 weeks, it's like, hey, everybody, remember we're doing that thing, right? Or maybe it's in your break room, or maybe it's in the sterile room or in some central location, but it's somewhere until it becomes automatic. It's somewhere where it can be front of mind. And just remember that if it's not written down, it doesn't exist. Once you create these systems, you don't want to set it and forget it. They need to be tested. They need to be tweaked. We need to make sure that we set scheduled time at team meetings to work on what's working and what's not and make edits. We want to ask for feedback. We want to encourage the team to say, hey, we've been working on that new system now for about a month. We do it every day. Here's what I've been noticing. We actually have a process and a tool for analyzing existing systems that we work with teams through. And basically, it just asks some simple questions. Does this system make sense? Does the team even know how to use it or why it was created? Maybe you have some new team members and they've never even seen this documented system. We have to bring it back to the forefront on occasion. You can break into small groups. You can work through it one or two ways that the system creates challenges, have each small group talk about one or two ways that it improves challenges. And you can come back as a group after everyone's had time to really think, process, dig in, and ask questions, and make whatever necessary improvements or tweaks are important. So we'll go through some final takeaways, but Kirk, anything you want to add or thoughts on that piece before I jump into my final takeaway thoughts?
No, so well said. If I add to this, it's going to go on for a long time. You're going to have to bring us back to what the original purpose of this was. So.
Well, we're getting close, and I do want to just make sure if there's any questions, we get a chance to answer them. So I'll leave you guys with this. Just, you don't need more hours in the day, and you certainly don't need to just throw more people at the inefficiencies in your practice. Like Kirk said at the top of this, your team compensation will just continue to rise. It's going to stress you out even more. We don't need better employees. We need better systems. Because like we said earlier, when the systems are in place, the systems run the practice, and then your people get to facilitate those systems and bring their very best to them. And when your team helps build the systems and they help run the systems, that's what's going to bring you to success. Because without your team's weigh-in, there will be no buy-in. They have inside knowledge that you don't have about some of these little intricacies that happen in different departments around the practice. And usually they have really good ideas floating around inside that we just have to draw out, like, hey, have you ever thought about what could be a better way to do this? Maybe there is a better way. You always say the seven most expensive words in dentistry, or that's the way we've always done it.
Yeah, but so you can't say it like that. You gotta
from that.
You gotta say it like, that's the way we've always done it.
Oh, you have to have the grumpy grizzly. Yeah. I don't know, because that's the way we've always done it.
Yeah.
Is that pretty good?
That's
that
pretty good.
Kind of bored.
Well, you kind of do the Grover. Nah, that's why we always done it.
You,
when Miranda
you
gets
love my Grover voice.
When Miranda gets mad, she uses Grover's voice from Sesame Street. That's why we always done it.
What do you mean?
I don't
I never
know.
Get mad.
I just
what
love having fun with
about?
You. You never do. I mean, I
do. That's not true. I do.
Yeah.
But we have to take action.
Yeah.
So choose one frustration that's happening for you every single day. Like if you're a dentist listening, if you're a team member listening, office manager listening, choose one thing that's frustrating you on a regular basis. Not like the little thing that doesn't really happen all that often, but that thing that's like over and over, the thing that keeps coming up at your team meetings or keeps driving you crazy day after day after day. Just choose one. And if it feels like Groundhog Day, bring that thing to your next team meeting and walk through this process of what would be a system that would help solve this problem? Why, where, when, who, and then start to break down the how with at least the first 80% and then work through that 80% process to get to a final result. And then, you know, just revisit it with your team for the next few weeks to make sure it's top of mind for everyone, and then come back and say, how's it going? Do we need to make any tweaks?
Yep.
And once you get one under your belt, it's going to be that much easier to do one more and then do one more. And like you always say, Kirk, if you get stuck, I mean, we can certainly help you.
100%.
Anything from you before we look to see if there's any questions?
Yeah, Jeffrey asked a great question. This is a really great question. Can there be an effective marriage of cross-training and systems, meaning responsibilities become blurry? Ooh, what do you think?
It's a great question. And because I'm a discerner, I want to follow it up with another question to learn more, but, right. I'm going to try to just go, I'm assuming this means like a lot of times this is like an admin team.
Right.
I'm guessing it's an admin team. And we're thinking to ourselves, we have three front office team members and they're all cross-trained to be able to do all of the same things. And so how do you then create accountability towards one person or another if all three of them just do front office, right? Yeah. I'm assuming that. And who did you say asked the question?
Jeffrey.
Jeffrey, if I'm not right, chime in. My initial thought is there should always be a primary who, because then the buck stops there regardless. I always share the story of a team I worked with who said like, oh, I hired someone new for the front office today. And I was like, cool. What'd you hire them for? Like what role? And they're like, for front office. And I'm like, yeah, but for what role? Like, what are they going to be doing primarily? I'm like, oh, well, we don't know what they're good at yet. Like just a little bit of everything until we figure it out.
Yeah.
Like there has to be clarity around accountabilities and responsibilities and a primary who, so that you do have someone to hold accountable. Is that what did Jeffrey chime in? Is that what he was?
Yeah, he didn't chime in, but I was thinking similarly to that is also you're going to see discrepancies. So my question is, you know, cross-training, which I think is always a good idea, but why are you doing that? And when you bring new team members into the practice, they're going to say, well, how do we do that? And you'll go, great, we don't have a system for that. It gives you the perfect opportunity to upgrade, improve, or add systems. We're big fans of 333s, which a new team member should have a checklist for 3 days, 3 weeks, 3 months. And in that, they're going to be like, oh, how do we do this? And you're like, wow, they will continuously improve your system. So, and Jeffrey.
Oh, Kirk, you just had something chime in my brain.
Go ahead.
So whenever I'm working with a team who's developing systems for the first time, one of the things I say is, what a great opportunity that you have this new dental assistant coming on board. Because as they're learning your preferences and nuances and the procedures, they can be documenting that kind of off to the side and creating this manual like alongside their learning. Now, once you have these, it's going to be that much easier when the next person comes on to just be able to say, hey, this is our dental assistant manual. This is like pretty much every system that you might need to know about how things work here. Always go here first if you have a question. And if you can't find it here, we probably need to write a system for it.
Yep.
And then we can work as a team to continue to build and layer those.
Yeah, he added a thought here in the chat. Thank you so much, Jeffrey. Great. Trying to stay lean and mean with no redundancy. So.
Oh, yeah. And so that's exactly what systems help you do, because I've never gotten past the first time you said throwing people at inefficiencies. It's so, so true. So it kind of goes back to that same thing I was sharing of like, I hired someone for the front office. You don't need six people to work in the front office if you have four people who have really clear understanding of systems and they're not like double doing efforts and not even realizing it, or they're having to figure everything out every time they do it. No, it's very clear, very simple. It creates a ton of efficiency, which does allow for you to stay a little more lean and mean with your team.
Yeah. And sometimes you get, so I just want to add some color to your story, to your point is like, this happens in a lot of dental practices. And so it becomes a corner that you paint yourself into. You have three amazing people that work at the front and they work their tails off and everything's redundant. They spend 75% of their entire day putting out fire after fire after fire because they know your head's going to spin around and green puke's going to come out if there's an empty chair. Do you know what I mean? So like they're just trying to keep you happy. And then they corner you one day and they go, Doc, we're so tired. It's so hard. And you go, I love you guys. Like, what do we need?
I don't want you to be stressed out.
I don't want you to be stressed out.
Let's get someone else in there.
Yeah. And they go, we need some help. And you go, hire whoever you need. Let's do it. And that process never ends. So you're just throwing person after person after person at a problem. And you're just throwing them into this big fire. Here's my challenge to you. Don't strive for bigger. Strive for better. It's a better goal every time. Like, everybody's trying to get big. Like, why? This is terrible when it's small. Like, let's get it to be great. And then you can add to it, you know? So I'm having fun with you guys, but like, I hope you get a lot out of this.
Kirk, and I know we're at time, so people can hop off if they can't, but we'll just, you and I, we just got to like, sometimes it's just hard to hold back. But admin team is where that probably happens the most.
Right.
Because if we don't really iron out like kind of those efficiencies in those systems, like you just said, it just becomes like they're overwhelmed with everything that's happening. Very simple example of that is like having a really strong cancellation system.
Yep.
A lot of times an admin team is going to be drowning because there's two people who are stepping away from their primary responsibilities of checking someone in and checking someone out or preparing a treatment plan or preparing a consult because they're just scrambling to fill all those holes in the schedule for tomorrow. Because people, every time they plug one, another one falls off. And as simple as creating a really solid cancellation system can save those administrative team hours every single day of just cold calling, trying to fill the cancellations that keep popping up in the schedule. So yeah, systems are the way to keep the practice running smooth, efficiently, reducing everybody's stress. And yeah, ultimately, no one wants to go home and have to decompress in their driveway for 20 minutes or maybe even cry before they walk in the front door. So if we can create environments and practices where, hey, our purpose, better practice, better life, right? Mm-hmm. We want to help people have better practices so that you can feel better and really enjoy your life. Find the joy in this profession and then go and have energy left to be joyful with what matters most to you outside of your practice doors.
So well said. Drop the mic. Bam. That was awesome.
So as we wrap up, thanks to everybody who is here. I do just want to share one more thing. We have a study club every quarter in Milwaukee. Everybody comes to our, Everybody comes to our learning center in Milwaukee, and the dentists who join us are inspired. They learn from us. We learn from them. They learn from each other. And our next one, our next to the top study club is in October, October 17th and 24th. And every October we talk about strategic planning, because you should always be planning for the next year in October, not December 31st, right? And so we're going to be talking about strategic planning, and we're going to have a room full of dentists, business practice, dental practice owners who are collaborating to make sure that 2026 is an even better year than 2025 was. So you can scan this QR code. You can go to actdental.com. You can find that event. We also have it listed in the BPA. And if you want to come for free, you've never been before, and you want to come and you're a dentist who's curious, just reach out to me, Miranda at actdental.com, reach out to Gina or Courtney at actdental.com, and we'll be happy to connect you with a golden ticket so that you can come hang out with us in Milwaukee, learn from us, share with us what you have to share with the community. And Kirk, anything else before we sign off around this?
Yeah, I just want to say it's free. It's like free, like once a quarter, just come to Milwaukee on a Friday and be in a room. We'll send you home super motivated. If you don't like it, you don't have to stay. I know that won't happen. There's nothing better, nothing easier than that. So please join us. I promise you, you'll love it.
Sweet. Well, yeah. Thanks, Kirk, for another great webinar.
Hey, well, you did all the work. All I had to do was show up and just tell stories. So that was awesome. So
it was great. Thank you. And thanks to everybody who took time out of your day to be here with us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate you guys. So keep showing up. Join us back in the BPA where the conversation continues. And you're going to see a whole community of people committed to helping you create a better practice and better life. So we'll look forward to seeing you guys next time. Everybody,
all right.
Enjoy your day.
Bye.
Bye-bye. So there you have it. Another great episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And thank you for showing up. I just want to thank you for being here and sharing the good word with your friends. And if you're really enjoying the podcast, could you do me a favor? Could you go to wherever you consume the podcast and just give us a 4 or 5 star review? Here's what that does. It allows us to find other great people like you. I love this profession so much. I'm going to spend the rest of my professional life finding great information so that you can consume it and your friends can consume it so that you can create a better practice and a better life. So keep spreading the word, and we will see you guys soon. Have a great day, everybody.